This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
I'm tracking our next front, which may bring some severe storms to the area tomorrow. I'll show you the timeline coming up on FutureCast.
We're also following breaking news this noon hour. The FDA stopping the use of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine due to rare blood clotting issues. We'll hear how this will affect vaccine doses here in our state and what vaccine clinics are doing after the pause. We have team coverage with everything you need to know. Thanks so much for being with us this noon hour. I'm Ken Smith and for Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. The FDA recommended the halt on Johnson & Johnson vaccine after six people in the U.S. developed a rare blood clotting disorder. This recommendation is out of an abundance of caution, and the agency wants states to follow suit. In the last 90 minutes, the FDA and CDC wrapped up a joint news conference. WRAL's Joe Fisher joins us live with that new information. Joe.
Well, Renee, these six cases are all women between the ages of 18 and 48, and they all started experiencing symptoms between 6 and 13 days after getting the J&J single-dose vaccine. Officials say one woman died, and another is currently hospitalized in critical condition. It is important to point out, and we really want to stress, that these are six serious cases with 6.8 million Johnson & Johnson vaccines administered across the country, a very small percentage. Officials say they do not, at this point, have a definitive cause, but they do have an idea. This is a type of blood clot called a cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, or CVST, and was seen in combination with low levels of blood platelets. So it is that clotting and the low levels of platelets happening together here that seems to be the problem. The FDA says this is similar to some of the issues reported in Europe with the AstraZeneca vaccine. At this point, there is no link to the severe clotting and birth control medicine, which we know can sometimes cause clotting. Now, this is certainly raising some eyebrows, if not a concern, for those people who have gotten the J&J shot. Here's the deal when it comes to your risk for serious symptoms. The CDC says that if you got the single dose shot a month ago or more, your risk is extremely low. And for those people who got the J&J shot in recent weeks, you should be monitoring for symptoms that include severe headache, very severe headache, abdominal pain, leg pain, and shortness of breath. This temporary pause is expected to last a matter of days, according to the CDC. They say that they're hoping for an expeditious review, which will begin tomorrow when an independent advisory committee on immunizations will meet to discuss preliminary findings. As for the other two vaccines, the FDA says that they have not seen any similar problems happening with Pfizer and Moderna, and they are encouraging people at this point to continue getting vaccinated with either of those two treatments. Renee?
People still have those two options, Pfizer and Moderna. Joe Fisher, thanks.
Well, the pause of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is a blow to Cape Fear Valley Medical Center in Fayetteville. The hospital had two J&J walk-in clinics scheduled for tomorrow and Friday. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays joins us live after speaking with the head of the hospital's vaccination program. Gilbert, good afternoon to you.
Ken, good afternoon. And those two clinics that you're talking about have been canceled. We're talking about 2,400 doses, 1,200 were supposed to be given out tomorrow, the other 1,200 on Friday. This is a big blow to the hospital system because they have noticed in the past week or so a lull in folks signing up for the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines as well. Now, it's about a week ago that photojournalist Mike Joyner and I were at the rehab center off Owen Drive of the hospital. They were giving out their first J&J walk-in clinic. They gave out about 900 doses on that day, and I talked with Dr. Chris Tart this morning. He runs the vaccination clinics for Cape Fear Valley Health System at their hospitals in Cumberland, Hope, and Bladen County. Now, he thinks at this point the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines may have dropped off because some people with vaccine hesitancy would prefer to take that shot that is one and done.
But it does put a damper on our efforts for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because there's already some hesitancy in the community about receiving the vaccine. A lot of folks are waiting for the one dose approach, so they can just get one dose and be vaccinated versus having to get two.
And that was the case this week at Methodist University and Fayetteville State University as well. Both schools held clinics that featured the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Neither the university says that any individuals reported any significant side effect. Now, I reached out to both universities this morning. Fayetteville State University has canceled their J&J clinics on campus until further notice. Both universities can, though, are monitoring, making sure the folks who did get the shots, they're going to be checking back to make sure there's no adverse side effects from those doses that they did give out.
Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays reporting. Gilbert, thanks.
So what does this all mean for clinics in our area? We've been reaching out to health systems all morning, and so far everyone is pausing their use of the J&J vaccine, but not their vaccine clinics. WRAL's Amanda Lamb joins us live from PNC Arena, the site of a weekly mass vaccination clinic, to explain. Amanda.
Renee, as you can imagine, this is an unfolding situation, so a lot of health systems in our area are scrambling, trying to figure out what they're going to do. Now, there will be an event here, a vaccine clinic here at PNC tomorrow. They're going to be using Pfizer. If you remember, they did have a clinic last week of J&J that they paused because a handful of people had adverse reactions unrelated to today's issue. But again, they tell me tomorrow they're going to be offering Pfizer. Now, we got statements from many of the health systems, this one coming in from Duke late this morning. Duke Health has immediately paused its use of the J&J vaccine at all of its sites. Patients who were scheduled to receive the J&J vaccine today at Duke Health vaccination sites are being offered the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, and we are working to accommodate all of those who made appointments for the rest of the week based on our current supplies of these authorized vaccines. Now, again, we reached out to multiple health systems, and they're all telling us the same thing. Wake County Health, Wake Med, UNC, Duke, and you heard from Gilbert about Cape Fear Valley Health, all offering alternative vaccines. We also heard from NC Central this morning. They have a clinic scheduled for tomorrow. They're going to be offering Moderna. Now, here at PNC, they're going to be doing first and second doses of Pfizer. County officials say they have a really good supply. They're expecting 18,000 doses today combined of Moderna and Pfizer. So supplies are not the issue. The big issue is whether people want to switch to the two-dose vaccine. But in this case, they're not going to have a choice. So they can either wait this out and see what happens with J&J or come to a clinic like the one that's going to be here at PNC tomorrow. Another question that we're trying to answer, how long does J&J stay good on the shelves? Well, Wake County tells us, unlike Pfizer and Moderna, it can stay on the shelf longer because it doesn't have to have those cold temperatures. And they have over 7,000 doses of J&J that they're holding back, just waiting to see what happens next in this unfolding situation. Renee?
Amanda Lamb, live at PNC Arena. Amanda, thanks.
We're also hearing from Duke Health in response to the pause of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in the United States. Now, we want to get some perspective to everything that we've been reporting in the last 5 minutes or so. We're joined now by Duke University School of Medicine Associate Professor of Medicine, Dr. Cameron Wolf. Dr. Wolf, thank you so much for your time this morning. Listen, it's important to remind our viewers Johnson & Johnson and other vaccines are still operating under emergency use authorization. We're still learning about these vaccines. What do the FDA hopes to learn by pausing the J&J vaccine?
Yeah, afternoon, and thanks for the chance to speak. I mean, I think the pause is important because people should remember these are emergency approved vaccines. So there's always a balance here between trying to figure out where we are in a pandemic and how much data we know. And so whilst the data is robust for each of these vaccines so far, you know, we've dished out more than it's in the tens of millions of doses of J&J so far. This is a signal which is notable. It's about 1 in a million individuals so far seem to have a unique clotting problem here. And so I think the pause gives us a chance to step back and say, this is so rare that we would not usually pick this up under clinical trial situations, but let's have a look again at our data. Let's understand a little bit more about these individual cases and then re-put that into the system to say, are we vaccinating people still in the right way? Are we administering these to the right types of people? It also needs to be weighed up against the reality of what happens when we don't vaccinate people. And, you know, we're currently still in a very active part of the pandemic. If you look in Michigan, if you look in New York, certainly if you see the examples from countries elsewhere, COVID hasn't gone away either. And I think this is where the FDA and CDC will try and balance to say, look, let's have a look at a safety signal here very appropriately. And let's compare that to what an individual's risk is of having a COVID complication and understand and move forward.
You know, the state is still trying to vaccinate as many people as possible. What does this pause mean for the vaccine rollout plan at Duke and maybe all across our state?
Yeah, I mean, we've done the same thing as elsewhere, which is to pause using J&J until we get more data. I will say, like, it has not taken away my earnest need to get our community vaccinated. We've talked a lot about the needs to get us to herd immunity to protect more Americans from getting COVID and, frankly, dying, let alone getting long COVID. So what we've tried to do is to flip a little bit to say, if you have a current booking with us to get a J&J vaccine, we can transition all of those to Pfizer or Moderna. And we actually have a large supply of those vaccines ready. So it changes our messaging. I think our focus should now be to continue vaccinating with the other two vaccines, which have not had a safety concern at all, while we get more information to understand if this signal is significant or not. And this it's a pivot rather than a stop. By no means do we plan to stop offering vaccines. That's still important.
And like you just said, Dr. Wolf, it's a small percentage of 6 patients out of about 6 million doses. Dr. Wolf, we always appreciate your perspective.
Hey, thanks so much.
Tomorrow, parts of the viewing area are under a level 1 risk for severe storms. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREL Severe Weather Center with the timeline and who's most likely to see them. Elizabeth.
That's right. It's most likely to be in our northern counties. We're going to see a band of thunderstorms that comes through tomorrow up in the north. We may see a few isolated ones down to the south as well, but mostly this is going to be an issue for the north. Let's talk about where it is right now. You can see high pressure and then this cold front and some rain behind it. We also have a low pressure system that is parked back to the west that's been producing some severe storms over the last 24 hours. Let's jump on into Wednesday. We're going to start off with partly cloudy skies in the morning, and then gradually we'll start to see the rain in the north dropping southward as that cold front moves in over us. We'll take a look at Futurecast at about 5 o'clock, and we begin to see some of that moving across the Virginia line. But for most of us, we're just talking about a late evening type of event, not during the evening commute. So between 6 and 7, 8 o'clock, we see that line moving across the Virginia border, and most of us, say from Raleigh southward, may not see much out of this at all. Notice by 10 p.m., a few more of those storms begin to pop up. We take a look at our hour-by-hour chances for rain. It's just a slight chance before 5 o'clock and then continues to go up as we head into the evening.
A 10-year-old is in the hospital after getting hit by a car while chasing after a dog. This happened on Spring Branch Road in Dunn. Police say a driver went off the road, hitting the child, then crashing into another car. Officers believe speeding could be a factor. Two other people were hurt. WREL is working to learn more on the condition of those involved in this crash. Stay with us on air and online at WREL.com for updates. Wake County Sheriff's Office is investigating a possible road rage case. A spokesperson says shots were fired. Here's a look at the scene from Sky 5. It all happened at the corner of Zebulon Road and 401 at around 9 o'clock this morning. WREL's Sloan Heffernan is live at the scene where a man has been taken into custody. Sloan, good afternoon.
Ken, we've been here all morning, and investigators just left the scene with that one person in custody. That one man stood beside investigators as they searched this pressure washing and detailing truck owned by Team Savage. We were also here as deputies took that man into custody. The sheriff's office says shots were fired and that it appears to be a road rage incident. No one was injured. A man who works across the street told me that he heard gunshots this morning. It happened right near a gas station on the corner of Zebulon Road and 401. A woman who works inside of that gas station tells me the man who was shot at is a regular customer. No one was hurt. We're waiting to receive word about whether or not anyone has been formally charged, and we are also waiting for the 911 call in hopes of getting more information about exactly what happened here this morning. But again, no one was hurt. Back to you.
And that's the good news. Sloan Heffernan reporting live. Sloan, thanks.
Still to come on WREL, what the Harnett County Sheriff is saying about a deadly shooting that left a 15-year-old boy dead. Also, the emerging cases that are linking blood clots to the AstraZeneca vaccine down under. And in business headlines, why cryptocurrency is surging to record highs and why Wall Street is paying attention.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WORL Live Center. When it comes to the trial of the former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, the prosecution has officially rested. Right now, you're looking at video from earlier this morning when the trial began. The former police officer, of course, being charged with second-degree unintentional murder as well as third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter in connection to George Floyd's death. Now, over the 11 days, prosecutors called a total of 38 witnesses. The defense is expected to call their first witness any moment. Back to you.
The World Health Organization has called for a ban on the sale of live wild animals in food markets. According to the organization, animals are the source of more than 70% of all emerging infectious diseases in humans. It comes after a 120-page WHO report into the origins of COVID-19 found it probably spread to people through animals. The B.1.7 coronavirus variant, which was first identified in the United Kingdom, is more transmissible but not more severe. That's according to two new studies. One study found the variant was not associated with severe COVID-19 fevers, but was associated with increased viral load, making it more transmissible. Australian health officials have identified a second case of a rare blood clot likely linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine. They said it involved a woman in her 40s. This follows the case of a man who received an AstraZeneca injection last month and had to be hospitalized with blood clots. The woman fit the criteria for thrombosis clotting, which is a very low level of platelets.
The Harnett County Sheriff says the shooting death of a 15-year-old boy is confined to the home where it happened. The WRL Breaking News Tracker was on scene at this time yesterday morning at the Samarin Mobile Home Park near Spring Lake. Investigators say one shot was fired, killing the teenager. Two younger sisters were inside, but they were not hurt. Friends of the family tell WRL the victim was 15-year-old Dalton Davis.
He was just a nice kid. I'm older, but he was just an old soul kind of, and we just like got along really well. So it's just different, like when something happens so suddenly like that, and I just feel for his mom.
Deputies have not identified the shooter.
Bitcoin surged to a record high of more than $62,000 this morning. The price of Bitcoin climbed more than 4% in the last 24 hours. It came as investors awaited the highly anticipated stock market debut of cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase. Ether, the second most valuable digital coin, also set a new record, climbing to more than $2,000. Well, we're having a really nice day around here. Let's get right to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center to see how the rest of the day is shaping up.
That's right. We take a look at what's happening over in Durham. Looks beautiful. A couple of patchy clouds out there. That's really about all we're going to see as we head through the remainder of the afternoon. It's really going to be nice. And boy, we've warmed up very nicely too. 69 officially there at the DBAB, and they are working diligently on the grounds there, getting ready for May 11th, I believe it is the first home opener there. So exciting stuff. Let's head over to Goldsboro, and you can see more clouds here. Big puffy cumulus clouds and 67 degrees, our current temperature. And then we'll head back over to Southern Pines, and same story. You can see mainly a clear sky, just a little bit of height and wispy stuff there. 72, our temperature there from the Longleaf Golf and Family Club. Our next front that we've been talking about this noon hour could bring us some strong winds, possibly some hail, and then some cooler temperatures toward the end of the week as the whole thing moves on through. You can see some of these stronger thunderstorms now diving into Louisiana, and that's where we're looking at the potential for some severe storms for the remainder of the afternoon. We'll jump on ahead to tomorrow because things are going to be pretty quiet for us around here today. We'll just see partly cloudy skies. We move on through, and we'll see that tomorrow too. This is not going to be a washout of a day, so we are talking about a level one risk for severe storms. We're talking about a front coming through, but it's going to be really late in the day. This is lunchtime. We have a steady flow coming up from the south at lunchtime. That's going to warm up our temperatures on up to almost 80 degrees. It's going to be a very warm day. We'll watch the rain first developing up near the Virginia line. This is 3 p.m. And then as we head closer to dinner hour, we'll start to see that line dropping southward into North Carolina. But notice here at 5 o'clock, as we start the evening commute, everything looks pretty dry. So it shouldn't be an issue for the evening commute. At 7 o'clock, we're starting to see that line of storms dropping southward. But it looks like the strongest storms will be really from sort of northeastern Wake County eastward up toward Roanoke Rapids and then on toward Virginia Beach. Now, behind that line, there may be some isolated showers that kick up and continue on until, say, midnight or so. And again, it's really the northern part of our our viewing area that has the greatest threat for seeing any severe storms. Damaging wind would be the biggest threat, but we could see a little bit of hail and certainly some heavy rain with a few of these cells. The farther south you are, the less rain that you'll end up seeing, anywhere from a trace to maybe a quarter of an inch if you happen to see one of those cells pop up. But it's more likely that we'll have some heavier rain from Raleigh north and east, maybe up to half an inch, but nothing that's going to cause us any real problems. 76 today, just a beautiful afternoon. We'll see partly cloudy skies, and then we don't see the rain developing until, say, 6-7 o'clock tomorrow, and it will continue on until around midnight in some places. After that front moves through, we dry out nicely, and look what happens with our temperatures. Our highs will be in the upper 60s, and our overnight lows Friday morning in particular, look at that, 42 degrees. It may be that up near the Virginia line, we'll see our temperatures dropping into the upper 30s in some places, so there could be a little bit of light frost, say, up near Roxborough or up into South Hill. We'll be talking more about that as we get a little bit closer. We'll see if the Weather Service issues a frost advisory for those locations. In the meantime, looking at just a lovely weekend with plenty of sunshine. Now, it may be that our pollen begins to drop with this change in our weather pattern. I'll show you the pollen forecast in just a little bit.
Thanks, Elizabeth. This afternoon on WREL, our team coverage of the developing Johnson & Johnson vaccine pause continues from 4 to 6:30. We have reporters out getting answers to your questions right now. Here's what else we're working on. Have a canceled trip lingering from last year? Check that airline voucher. At 4, 5 Underside's Monica LaLiberty checks out policies and the push to extend deadlines.
And at 5, while many are eager to return to the classroom, Durham schools have enough interest in staying remote that the school district is launching a full-time online academy. WREL reporter Laura Levine shows us what that could look like and the other school districts considering it.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. We're following breaking developments as sources are revealing that President Biden will miss the May 1st deadline for withdrawing U.S. troops from Afghanistan. This, of course, video from the years-long war that has been happening there. This is what we know. He's now set a new deadline. That'll be September 11th, exactly 20 years after the terrorist attacks at the World Trade Center and the Pentagon launched the country into its longest war. Back to you.
Besides getting good grades on their report cards, students preparing to enter college may soon need to get their vaccine card. Fox News correspondent Kevin Cork has more on which universities are mandating the shots and the legal ramifications others are running into.
I don't think anyone on campus is really going to be having that issue.
It's vaccine 101. Colleges and universities across the country now debating whether or not to require every student to be inoculated against COVID-19 before entering school in the fall. The concept started with Rutgers University last month and is quickly spreading, with Brown, Cornell, Northeastern, and others following suit.
I definitely think there'll be a set of dominoes.
But experts say state schools could be the ones getting stuck between a rock and a hard place, with states like Florida and Texas outlawing businesses from mandating customers show vaccine cards.
Most university presidents and universities, especially those who are funded by a state who might not be so keen on mandating vaccines, want to, as much as possible, try to avoid taking a position as long as they can.
Currently, the federal government says anyone able to provide a medical or religious reason for not getting vaccinated will be excused from getting the jab. But what do students think about the idea?
We're required to get all those other vaccines. I don't see why this one is any different.
Others say it all comes down to freedom of choice.
I think everyone should always have a choice, but I think to keep in mind that we protect each other, I think it would be in everyone's best interest to get the vaccine.
Schools are also now examining whether or not they have the authority to make all their employees get the shots. In Washington, I'm Kevin Cork. Fox News.
Duke University also requiring that vaccine mandate. Well, still to come, we're following the latest on recent arrests and updates involving the Durham Police Department's Sexual Assault Initiative grants, what we know. Also, unrest overnight in Minneapolis as protests lasted into the morning over the death of Dante Wright. And as we head to break, your winning lottery numbers are on your screen. Pick three numbers, 772. Pick four, 5795. And your Carolina Cash 5 numbers, 3, 11, 14, 22, and 34.
This is WREL News, your number one source for local news.
Breaking news. The U.S. is recommending a pause in administration of the single-dose Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. This comes after reports of potentially dangerous blood clots. In a statement, the CDC and the FDA said they were investigating unusual clots in six women that occurred 6 to 13 days after vaccination. The clots occurred in veins that drain blood from the brain and occurred together with low platelets. All six cases were in women between the ages of 18 and 48. State Health Department data shows roughly 219,000 people in North Carolina have received the J&J vaccine. That amounts to almost 9% of the total number of people fully vaccinated in our state. Here's what a doctor at Emory University had to say this morning to those who are in that group.
Well, the Durham Police Department announced today it has received funding to expand its cold case sexual assault unit. The unit started in 2019 is already making a big impact. Today, officers announced two more rape suspects have been charged. WREL's Durham reporter Sarah Krug explains the impact the unit is having in bringing justice for survivors.
Just last week, police arrested a man accused in a rape that happened at this North Durham apartment complex nearly 15 years ago. The head of the cold case sexual assault unit says while these cases may be old, they are not forgotten. When the Durham Police cold case sexual assault unit started in 2019, thanks to a federal grant, there were 1,700 untested rape kits. Now, investigators are working through that backlog and since then have tested 270 kits, resulting in 73 DNA hits, 17 cases cleared, and 13 arrests. Just today, Lieutenant Stephen Vaughn announced two new arrests. Carlos Dominguez Aguilar, charged with breaking into a woman's home on Seven Oaks Road in 2015 and raping her at knife point. And Isidore Sullivan Jr., charged in a 2007 rape. He is accused of forcing a woman into her car at the Creekside Landing Apartments and raping her. Lieutenant Vaughn says these new charges and the unit's upcoming expansion a sign they are committed to solving these types of cases.
We all know that this is involving a very intimate part of everyone's life, and for that to occur to someone and have to live through that for the rest of their life without an answer, that's what drives me every day.
Thanks to this new funding, Durham Police will be able to do more specialized testing of DNA evidence. They will also be hiring a data analyst. That position should be posted very soon. Sarah Krueger, WRAL News, Durham.
Protests stretched into the early morning hours after the Brooklyn Center police chief said the shooting that killed Dante Wright was accidental. Here are the latest developments right now. Protests largely ended by 1:30 this morning. Police made several arrests. Some officers were hurt. They're expected to be okay, though. This afternoon, Dante Wright's family will join the family of George Floyd and civil rights attorney Ben Crump for a news conference in Minneapolis. The police chief says the veteran police officer meant to use her taser during the traffic stop on Sunday and accidentally used her weapon. Body camera video shows the encounter. Now, we want to warn you, the video you're about to see is difficult to watch. The clip we're about to show you does not show the moment Wright was shot.
During a news conference around 1:30 this morning, law enforcement officials said roughly 40 people were arrested in the protests last night. Some officers were hurt from things thrown at them. Officials say their injuries are overall minor. Brooklyn Center's mayor has not said whether a curfew will be in place again tonight. If you still need your COVID shot, you can make a plan to be in Johnston County tomorrow morning. The health department there has scheduled a drive-through clinic Wednesday starting at 8 a.m. The clinic will run until supplies last at Corinth Holders High School in Wendell. The health department will administer the Pfizer vaccine for anyone 16 years and older. T Teens under the age of 18 need an adult present to get the vaccine. There are 2,300 Pfizer doses available at this clinic.
In Harnett County, a mobile home and a car were destroyed by an early morning fire. We know the mobile home is located on Stancil Lane and that the flames broke out around 5 this morning. Johnson County helped assist Harnett County with putting out that fire. No word on any injuries. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. Today, school leaders in Johnson County are looking ahead to the summer to help children who may have fallen behind during the pandemic. In a meeting today, the Board of Education will be discussing its plan to use summer learning to help students get caught up. For now, the plan is to notify parents of the learning program as early as next week. Then a decision to enroll would be due on April 30th.
Today marks the start of Ramadan. President Joe Biden said in a statement, Muslim Americans have enriched our country since our founding. They are as diverse and vibrant as the America they have helped build. Ramadan ends May 12th. Tomorrow marks 100 days until the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. WREL is the place to be for all your coverage. The Olympics are scheduled for July 23rd to August 8th and will include new sports like surfing, skateboarding, and karate.
Well, never in American history has a woman served as Secretary of the Army. President Biden hopes to change that by nominating Pentagon veteran Christine Warmoth. What the nation's defense secretary has to say about her track record. Find out how much you're adding to your carbon footprint every time you use your MasterCard. How its carbon calculator works with every swipe.
Makaya Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. We have some major economic news. A biotech firm is bringing 300 jobs to Sanford. Take a look at this brand new story posted within the hour on WREL TechWire. So they're bringing hundreds of jobs, in total about 300, and the average salary is estimated to be about $63,000. This is all according to figures from the North Carolina Department of Commerce. The name of the company is AbbZena, which is a global partner research organization. The firm in total planning to invest about $13 million.
Thank you, Makaya. Well, soon a woman could serve at the top of the U.S. Army for the very first time. President Biden nominated Christine Warmoth as the next Secretary of the Army. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin issued a statement calling Warmoth, quote, a true patriot and deeply experienced. She worked previously as Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. Warmoth still has to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate. Another state has legalized recreational marijuana, clearing the way for the state to expunge minor arrests. New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham signed the bill legalizing pot. The Cannabis Regulation Act was passed in the state last month. New Mexico set a target date of April 2022 for the industry to be fully operational. Arrest records and convictions of minor marijuana-related crimes will be expunged.
Just in time for your summer vacation, you can soon carry full-sized sunscreen bottles on an airplane. The TSA is now considering sunscreen and SPF products as medically necessary liquids. The move is part of an effort to spread awareness of skin cancer. You can bring the larger bottles and carry-on bags the next time you fly. Japan plans to release treated wastewater from the Fukushima disaster back into the sea. The water was contaminated after an accident at a nuclear plant about 10 years ago. The Prime Minister's office says the water has since been treated and is considered safe. Both China and South Korea have voiced their concerns over this decision.
MasterCard will let you know your carbon footprint based on what you purchase. The credit card company created a calculator to understand how spending habits contribute to carbon emissions. The tool doesn't track individual transactions. Instead, it focuses on specific spending categories. It calculates the impact of transactions by using an average footprint for different industries.
Exciting news for Tar Heel fans. The football season will start off with a primetime game. We'll tell you who the team will take on in the first game. Plus, the pandemic took a hit on ride-sharing companies. Coming up, how well Uber did last month as lockdowns get lifted.
The North Carolina Tar Heels football team starting the 2021 season with a matchup in prime time. The Tar Heels are on the road to start traveling to Blacksburg to face Virginia Tech. Now, the game is set for Friday, September 3rd. The kickoff time will be announced later. Tech has won its last two home meetings against UNC, including the longest game in ACC history. Well, today, the U.S. women's national soccer team will face off against France as they prepare to compete in the Tokyo Olympics. But they'll be playing with one partial victory off the field under their belt. A federal judge has approved a partial deal between the national team and the U.S. Soccer Federation over equal pay. The women's team sued their governing body back in 2019, citing gender discrimination in pay and other working conditions. The new deal will allow the team to appeal a decision on unequal pay.
Two contestants from North Carolina competed on The Voice and battled each other, and one of them had to go home.
I'm your man, hey. And you're my girl, and I'm gonna tell it to the whole wide world, say, I'm your girl, and you're my man, yeah. I'm Mr. Love, best I can.
The energy, the vocals, off the charts. Victor Solomon is a senior at North Carolina A&T University. Deion Warren is from Conway, North Carolina. Both are on Team Legend, and only one could stay. Victor Solomon moved on. Deion Warren is headed home after this week's performance. New research shows Americans tend to eat foods with poor nutritional quality, except at school. The study looked at meals consumed by more than 60,000 children and adults from the years 2003 to 2018. And by the end of the study period, 80% of restaurant meals were still considered to be poor nutritional quality. 45% of meals from grocery stores also had poor nutritional value. But only 25% of meals served in schools were unhealthy.
Well, Uber says it has seen a pickup in demand for rides as states begin to relax restrictions. The rideshare company has hit hard times by the coronavirus last year as lockdowns reduced demand for rides. Monday, the company said its ride-hailing business posted its best month since March 2020 with an annualized run rate of $30 billion. In addition, Uber's delivery unit reached a record run rate of $52 billion in March. That's more than double from last year. Well, your backyard swimming oasis could be in jeopardy because of a chlorine shortage. Chlorine tablets, commonly used in swimming pools to keep the water clean, may be facing a shortage this summer, leaving pool owners diving into deeper prices for the chemical. In addition to the high demand, a looming shortage is due in part to a fire destroying a Louisiana factory, which accounted for about 80% of the country's supply of chlorine. Now, pool experts say a bucket of chlorine could cost about $200 more than it did this time last year.
I do not have a backyard swimming pool. Wish I did. I do have a patio that's covered in yellow dust and also some pretty backyard blooms. And speaking of blooms, the azalea gardens are popping right now.
Oh, they are. A perfect time to come out and visit. I love it. Somebody's down here with their blanket having a little picnic, and there are people all through the woods. All right, we have a special report coming up. We'll talk more about weather in just a little bit. I'll send it back to you, Renee.
This is an NBC News special report. Here's Lester Holt.
Good day. We're coming on the air to take you to the White House briefing, where we are expecting to hear from Dr. Anthony Fauci after the CDC and FDA recommended providers temporarily pause use of Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine after reports of rare blood clots. Let's take you to the briefing right now. We're waiting for Jen Psaki.
Six reported U.S. cases of a rare and severe type of blood clot in individuals after receiving the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Let me start by saying that this announcement will not have a significant impact on our vaccination program. The J&J vaccine makes up less than 5% of the more than 190 million recorded shots in arms in the United States to date. The president has always said that this is a wartime effort. We're at war against the virus. And as such, we've mobilized a wartime effort so that we're prepared for a wide range of scenarios. And that's why the president took action earlier this year, before the J&J vaccine was even authorized, to secure enough Pfizer and Moderna doses for 300 million Americans by the end of July. Over the last few weeks, we have made available more than 25 million doses of Pfizer and Moderna each and every week. In fact, this week, we will make available 28 million doses of these two vaccines. And as we've done since we took office, we will continue to get the supply out the door as soon as it's available. So we have more than enough supply of Pfizer and Moderna vaccines to continue the current pace of about 3 million shots per day. And that puts us well on pace to meet the president's goal of 200 million shots by his 100th day in office and continue to reach every adult who wants to get vaccinated. We're now working with our state and federal partners to get anyone scheduled for a J&J vaccine quickly rescheduled for a Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. And we're actually already seeing this happen today at sites across the country where J&J appointments are being adjusted that were for today to actually get Moderna and Pfizer today. So that's happening many places across the country. The president has committed to the American people that his administration will always lead with science, tell the truth, and give Americans the facts as we know them. CDC and FDA will continue to do just that and provide regular updates to the public, and they will do so as they continue their investigation. With that, let me hand it over to Dr. Fauci, and then we'll take questions.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Just to follow up a bit and maybe fill in a couple of points from what Jeff said and what our colleagues in the FDA and the CDC said earlier this morning at the press conference. A couple of issues come up of the importance of calling this pause. Because people say, what does a pause mean? It really allows both the FDA and the CDC to further investigate these cases to try and understand some of the mechanisms of what it is, some more details about the history of the individuals who were involved that might shed some light on looking forward, what will happen and what we will do. That's the first thing. The other thing is to make physicians out there aware of this, and there are some clinical implications of that that I believe are important. For example, if someone comes in with this really rather rare syndrome of thrombotic thrombocytopenia, where you get thromboses, and when you have thromboses, the most common way to treat that is with heparin. That would be a mistake in this situation because it could be dangerous and make the situation much worse. So there's a clinically relevant reason why you want to make this known to people. Also, when individuals, particularly younger women, who might come into a physician with a particular thrombotic phenomenon, which is things that happen for other reasons all the time, that we want to alert physicians to take a history of a recent vaccination. That would be important. So the pause not only allows us to take a look at the cases and learn more, but it is also a signal out there the physicians. A common question, and I'm sure we'll have a number of questions which Jeff and I will be happy to answer to you, but one of the questions that comes up already rather frequently, does this have anything to do with the efficacy of the vaccine? So we know that there have been 6.85 million doses of J&J distributed in the United States thus far. So someone who maybe had it a month or two ago would say, what does this mean for me? It really doesn't mean anything. You're okay, because if you look at the frame, the time frame, when this occurs, it's pretty tight from a few days, 6 to 13 days from the time of the vaccination. The next question is one that we're all obviously aware of. What impact is this going to have about people's attitudes about vaccines in general? So you might know that there have been now 120 million people that have received at least one dose of a vaccine. Most of that, subtract the 6.85 million,